Odeshtov world. Today's daf in the Sechet Shavuot brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh is Daf Chof Zayin. And we're holding right at the top of the daf, right here at the Halakha Mishnah. So continuing on our analysis of the Dinim of Shavuot Bitui, we finally get to the Mishnah that we've actually been taking for granted all along. And that was the question of what is the din of a mitzvah, if you want to be mevatel a mitzvah. We've taken for granted all along, you can't be nishba mevatel a mitzvah, you can't be nishba lekayim a mitzvah. All that we said is mushba v'im in mihar Sinai, as if that's like a given that a shvur wouldn't be chal in those cases. Now we're finally getting to why are we taking this as a given. So nishba levatel a mitzvah, v'lo bitel. So in the case where somebody said he will be mevatel, and he didn't, he's potter, because a shvur to be mevatel as a mitzvah was never chal in the first place. And if it was nishba lekayim et mitzvah, and he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah, he would also be potter from shvur's bitui, because it's not chal on a mitzvah. Now remember that we had before Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira? Well, the truth is, shaya b'din, shaya chayiv, k'divrei Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. Well, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira said made sense, didn't it? I mean, isn't it a kal v'chomer? Remember what he said. Omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, ma im harashut she'enu mushba mihar Sinai, hari hu chayav alav. If you could just make a shvua on something that never was addressed at Har Sinai, and if you didn't keep that shvua, you would be chayav. So if you're making a shvua on a mitzvah which you're already mechuyev to keep, wouldn't that be even a stronger reason to be mechayev? If you're being mushba on something that you're mushba of, ain't odin shechayev alav. So I understand you can't be mevatel the mitzvah, but why can't you actually make a shvua to be mekayim the mitzvah, and then it will be double a chiyuv from Har Sinai, and a chiyuv because you also committed yourself personally to do it? Omru lo, so they said to him, look, that's all very logical, except for one big problem. Imamarta, Bishvat harashut, shekein asibo lav kehen. So as we saw before, lahara o lehetiv is taken for granted to be the set of shvuas that are included. Now, so they would have to be at least potentially positive or negative. But if you're telling me that we can make a shvua to be mekayim the mitzvah, you're not going to be able to have symmetry in that shvua, because even you agree that you're not going to be able to override a mitzvah by saying you won't be mekayim it, and therefore you can't work it in the other direction either because of the din of symmetry. And lav has to be kehem, ashein kehem. If you're talking about a shvua's mitzvah, there you wouldn't be able to reverse it, and therefore it's not symmetrical. Shul asaba lav kehem. You can't say I will not be mekayim the mitzvah. She'im nishba levatel v'lo bitel patur. So this was the discussion. We had this whole discussion before, and we saw that Einav Inami, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, he does not hold that you need symmetry, and therefore he's not Balav Kehen, and he's certainly not in the Shvua B'Sha'avar, that it has to be in the Atid and Lavar. We brought that up, the Nogea Shmuel. And we pointed out that, yes, as far as the din of what we said before, if you're going to tell me that you cannot make a shvua in the avar, so then Einav Inami can't possibly, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, he certainly does not need a shvua that's reversible in time. And I'm telling you, these guys are intolerable. That is certainly not telling you. So that was the conversation we had before. But a lot of things in this Mishnah are just being taken for granted. I mean, where do we get all this from? You're telling me for sure you can't be Nishba to be the Kayim the Mitzvah. So let's start from the beginning. And here, we just try to go about it logically in terms of seeing what that La Ravalaitiv means. So turn about it. Yochom Nishba levatel et mitzvah velo bitel yechayav. Tamud lomar, lahara olehitiv. Now this is fascinating. We're taking a lot of things for granted. We're saying, look, if the Torah says lahara olehitiv, then they have to be similar. Not only similar in terms of the overall sense, that it has to be positive and negative, right? That's the way that we've understood it until now. But now we're saying it actually means something much more than that. It means that they have to have the same type of focus. And just like hatava, by definition, as we're about to explain, means that it has to be something that is optional and not a mitzvah, so too, when it says hara'ah, it's got to be referring to something that's optional and that's not a mitzvah. Which means that essentially you now know that if you say you will be mevatel a tamitzvah with a shvua, v'lo bitel, you will be potter. So that's for sure, because it is not optional and it's not in your hands. Now, how do I know that even the opposite case of Rabbi Yehuda ben Betira, where you made a shvua to be mekayim the mitzvah? So you might thought that there, if you're nishba lekayim et hamitzvah and you were not mekayim it, then you would in fact be chayiv, which is really what Rabbi Yehuda ben Betira held. Talmud lomar lahara o lehetir. Now here is where things start expanding in our understanding, since it compares hara'ah and hatava. Just like the hara is to be something that is optional, which means it does not include being mekayim a mitzvah, being mevatel a mitzvah, so to the hatava is to be rishus, and it cannot mean to be mekayim a mitzvah, and if you were nishba lekayim a mitzvah, you would not be chayiv on it. Yochol nishba lahara la'atzmo. How about if a guy, the same thing would be true, perhaps if a guy said, I am going to hurt myself, and he doesn't. You might think he would be potter there too. Now that would be based on the question of whether you're allowed to hurt yourself. Actually, that's a machlokas above a comma. And over here, our sugya is mentioning this piece, bedafka, in order to teach me that it's mutter to cause damage to yourself personally. So that's why we throw this in over here to teach me that halacha. That, according to us, is the whole reason that we're putting in this extra piece. So yochol nishba lahara la'atzmo v'lo hara yochol yepoter. Talmud lomar lahara olayti. Just like hatava has to be optional, so too hara'ah has to be optional, and therefore I can include this is optional. If somebody's nishba lahara la'atzmo and he doesn't, which he had rishus to do, therefore he would be chayiv. Yochol nishba lahara la'achirim lo hira. But you might think to cause damage to others, and you didn't, you might think you would be chayiv. No, Talmud lomar lahara la'atim. Same reason, just like atava is rishus, afara is rishus, and you do not have rishus to be meira la'achirim, and therefore since ina rishus biyado, it's not considered to be a shvuat bitui. Now you might think, if that's the case, since lahara lotif tells me I have to be able to do it in both directions, I cannot make a shvuah to do something nice to somebody else. Because I couldn't make a shvuah to punch him in the nose, could I? So if I can't make a shvuah to punch him in the nose, then I shouldn't be able to make a shvuah to throw him $100 just as a stam, as a gift. So maybe that too would not be a kosher shvuah. Minayin l'rabot hatavat achirim, Talmud lomar. Oh, la'itiv. I say, oh, la'itiv. La'itiv is coming to tell me that the O can exist in certain circumstances, even in the event that I wouldn't be able to do the ra, because it's extra. It could have just said, la'ra, u'la'itiv. Since it says, oh, la'itiv, it separates it out and tells me that there's a special case in which doing good to other people is included. What do I mean when I say, ha'ra'at achirim? I mean, I'll bash this guy's brains out. Okay, this is an extremely opaque braita. We have absolutely no idea what is going on, how in the world we're taking things for granted, where do we get the right to take it? Is this dafka rishus? If for that aspect, what in the world? Now, the truth is that this is really quite a sophisticated argument, and it's a bit complicated. So you have to put on your thinking caps and consider what exactly the braita is taken for granted, and why. So you came along and you told me that this is talking about a rishus. I want to know how you know that. And we might decry the dvar harishut k'tivi. What makes you say that we're talking about a dvar harishut at all? Maybe we're talking about a dvar mitzvah. I mean, you just took it for granted. Dilma bidvar mitzvah k'tivi. You said that if you make a shvuah to be over on a mitzvah, that can't be the shvua, which is called lahara. And therefore, when you say that you're going to be mekayim a mitzvah, that cannot be called lahativ. That's what you said, because they have to be things that are optional. But now I'm asking you a very fundamental question. When we say lahara or lahativ, what does that mean? To do good or to do bad? In terms of what? There's really three possibilities here. It could be in terms of completely neutral issues, in which case good or bad would simply be a matter of positive or negative. Doing something, not doing something. Throwing the pebble into the brook, not throwing the pebble into the brook. Where over there, it's morally neutral, but not only morally neutral, it's also defining good and bad as not good in any objective terms and not bad in any objective terms. It's simply another way of saying positive or negative. I mean, would we have used the word good and bad just in terms of positive and negative? Remember, when we wanted to learn that something that is completely morally neutral and is physically neutral, when we wanted to say that that's included in good or bad in the pasuk, we needed an extra pasuk to tell me, l'chol asher yishava adam, right? That was yesterday. That was the Mishnah we had yesterday. That was the Nekudat Rabbi Akiva Tanya to Rabbi Yishmael. I mean, lahara la'itiv means what it says. How do you know you can expand it to things that are morally neutral? Okay, so it could mean positive or negative. It could mean personally good for you or bad for you in terms of your body. It could mean objectively good and bad, which would mean that it would for sure include a dvar mitzvah. So in which case, if you say, I am going to do something bad, lahara, what would something bad mean? I'm going to go and eat chametz on Pesach. And what would something good be? I'm going to go and eat matzah on Leil Pesach, right? So what the Gemara is asking now is, you have no specific indication, do you, as to what the meaning of good or bad is. So what makes you say that good or bad can't be defined directly in terms of mitzvah? If it's defined directly, it doesn't mean only in terms of mitzvah, but it certainly can be. The ultimate good or bad would be objectively good or bad. So you jump in and you say, well, it can't be referring to a mitzvah. Why the heck can it not be referring to a mitzvah? The good is to do a mitzvah, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira said. And the bad would be to commit yourself to be over on a mitzvah. I mean, like, I don't know where this comes from. Says the Gemara, you cannot think that. And the reason that you cannot think that is because there's a deeper meaning to lahara o lahetiv, not merely the question of it needs to be a symmetrical shvua. There's something else that is meant in lahara lahetiv. Because lahara lahetiv is also referring to a hekesh. It's comparing the hara'ah and the hatava. It's not just saying they need to be symmetrical. It's saying they need to be similar. And that's a whole different idea. If it's saying that it needs to be similar, then that would mean that the overall thrust of the shvua needs to be understood as referring to the same type of object. And therefore, I want you to understand that to say lahara lahetiv means also be'inan hatava dumya dahara'a, lahara'a dumya lahatava. It means that the focus of the shvua, what it is we're talking about, has to also be the same. And the difference between them would only be whether it's positive or negative in this same idea. Now, that you didn't think of before. And if it means that, then you're going to run into a logical impossibility, as I'm about to show you. Because no matter how you look at it, you're going to be messed up without an ability to explain lahara lahetiv as referring to a mitzvah, if they both have to be in the same sugya. Because look, let's start with this. Okay, we can start any way you want. I'll pick a way to start, and then we'll start the other way. You'll see it's the same thing. If we need hatava dumya lara'a, bahara'a dumya da hatava, since akish hara'a la hatava, so then it's clear that this won't work. Because if the hatava is not bebitul mitzvah, so then af hara'a cannot be bebitul mitzvah. So what does that mean exactly? So the hatava would mean, okay, I'm going to do something. We're learning I'm going to eat something. That cannot mean that I'm going to eat something in a way that is bebitul mitzvah. Because what would we mean when we say it would be bebitul mitzvah? It would mean, okay, I'm going to eat chometz on Pesach, let's say, right? So I'm hungry, I'm going to eat chometz on Pesach. I'm hungry, I'm going to eat on Yom Kippur. The reason, if we would be including mitzvah as the definition, then that would mean that the hatava would have to mean an objective hatava. Okay, is it objectively a hatava to eat chometz on Pesach? It's objectively something bad to eat chometz b'pesach, right? So you can't say that the positive nature of eating something is going to be referring to eating something that is over a mitzvah, because that is bad. It's bad for the soul. It's bad for hell. So then it would have to mean, if you want to tell me it's talking about a mitzvah, what would it mean when you're saying, I am going to be meitiv? Meitiv would mean, I'm making a shvua to eat, it's certainly referring to myself, I'm going to do something good for myself, and it's going to be not just any old food, I'm making a shvua to eat matzah on Pesach. Okay, so that would be an all-around good thing to do. You're going to provide yourself a nourishment, and you're going to be doing a mitzvah by eating matzah. Okay, now let's take a look at the hara'ah, which has to be in the same sugya you're saying, all right? So when you're saying hara'a, what does that mean? I will not eat. What does it mean, I will not eat? It can't mean I will not eat matzah, because I will not eat matzah cannot be considered in that case something that is good. It has to be in the topic of the mitzvah. So even though you're saying hara'a, I will not eat, but then it isn't being mekayim a mitzvah at all. It's got to be talking about the kiyum of a mitzvah. So what would it mean? I will not eat. I will not eat chametz. But then why do I have to write such a thing? Because essentially, if you want to look at it in terms of good and bad objectively, I will not eat chametz objectively is a very nice thing. And we already know that you can make a shvuah to do a nice thing. So therefore, you're not going to be able to have a mitzvah reversible, good or bad, if both of them are talking in terms of kiyum mitzvah. Let me show you how it works the other way around too. Even if you want to start the other way around, it's still going to be the same result. It will not be a symmetrical shvuah. Because let's go the other way. Hatava has to be referring to the same thing that hara'ah. Okay. So you're saying hara'ah, meaning I will not eat. Just like that hara'ah cannot be talking about, I will not eat chometz b'pesach, let's say. Why doesn't it mean, I will not eat chometz b'pesach? I will not eat chometz b'pesach. You said we're going to be trying to talk about a sugya of mitzvah. Okay, let me hear how it works. I will not eat chometz b'pesach, and that's going to be your hara'ah, right? Because I'm not eating. But wait a minute, isn't it a good thing not to eat chometz b'pesach? So we can't be referring to not eating the chometz Pesach and calling that bad. I mean, how could you call it bad? It might be bad for you not to eat because you're going to be hungry, but it certainly is not objectively bad not to eat chometz Pesach. So therefore, we're not talking about hara'ah in terms of chometz Pesach, correct? That's the other way around. So therefore, what must we be talking about when you're saying hara'ah? It's got to mean something that would actually be the same. If the hatava can't be talking about, I will not eat chametz b'pesach, then the hatava can't be saying, I will eat matzah b'pesach, because then if we're talking about bittul mitzvah, so then if he's saying, I will eat chametz b'pesach, so then it's not hatava, then it's hara'ah. So no matter how you understand the definition of the set of things that you're swearing on, you're going to end up with the logical contradiction to try to make the Hara'a and the Hatava be referring to the same thing. And therefore, you're going to have to admit that what we're talking about are optional issues, not issues of mitzvah. Well, wait a minute, says the Gemara. To tell me that it means a set of the same purpose? I mean, if you're going to use that argument, then you're going to have to exclude even things that are questionable in terms of their health benefits. Let's forget about mitzvahs, okay? If the only thing that we're allowed to talk about are things that are hara'a or hatava in terms of some other idea, let's take an idea. How healthy is this food? Okay, let's talk about health benefits, right? You're going to end up with exactly the same argument. Because you're going to have to say, Bidvar Rishus Nami, says the Gemara, Lomesh Kachasla. In other words, if you would say that what? Aki Shara Allah Hatava. Let me compare doing good to the doing bad. So what are they both talking about? They're both talking about, I will eat is a Hatava. That can't mean I will eat a bunch of cookies because that's not good for you. That's Ra. Same argument. So it's all very nice to say it's good for me because you're hungry and you're in the mood to eat cookies, but you can't call that doing good for yourself, can you? I mean, that would be considered to be a davar ra if it's bad for your body. So how could you say lahativ? So therefore, it's got to be talking about something that is actually good for your body. But then if you're saying olahara, what would the ra'a be? The ra'a would mean something that if I'm doing bad, it can't mean that it's bad for your body because you just said it's a set of things that are okay for your body. So then it must mean something that is good, meaning I swear that I will not eat a bunch of cookies. But then that was already called lahitiv a minute ago. So how now is it being called lahara? So we would be left with only being able to talk about morally neutral things. Now, nobody suggested that that's the case. So, I mean, I don't know where you come off suggesting that we have to have the same purpose in mind as a set of either la ra la etiv. That's not going to work out whether you want to talk about mitzvah as being the objective purpose or you want to talk about health as being the, I don't care what you're going to take. You're going to limit yourself to only talking about completely morally neutral things in which la ra la etiv means nothing other than positive or negative. Nobody suggested that. As a matter of fact, we needed an extra pasuk to tell me that morally neutral is even included in la ra la hativ. So your argument just simply does not hold water at all because there would be no way for us to work out any level of a real la ra la hativ at all. So I don't get how you're possibly going to learn it from here. So let's move on and try to figure out what the real reason is that we know it's not talking about the mitzvah. So, okay, I'll tell you. You know how I know it's not talking about the Dvar Mitzvah? Because if you look at the end of that braita, remember that you use the word oh. How do I know? You said, you can't punch another guy in the nose. Okay, so if that's the case, maybe I cannot make a shvua to do anything nice to another guy. Because after all, I can't make a shvua to punch him in the nose. So therefore, maybe there's no shvua that's nogea anybody else. And you said, since the Torah, instead of saying lehara ulahetiv, the Torah said lehara ulahetiv, that extra O comes to separate out the question of being good to other people. And it's telling me that I can make a shvua to be good to other people in something that is not a mitzvah and something that is mutter for me to do. And therefore, if that's true, and I need that, oh, so I ask you, ask yourself, what do you think the O means? That the O is coming to tell me that I can make a shvua to do something that would be a mitzvah? I mean, obviously, I know that, don't I? Because that's a kal vachomer. If hara'at acherim is rabbit, if you're going to tell me that the pasuk would be talking about even doing something that was usher, As you're saying, maybe it's referring to things that are being over a mitzvah. So then that would mean that doing bad to other people would also be included. Would I need an oath to tell me that doing good to people is included? So the very fact that I need the pasuk oath to be marba, doing good to other people, is a riot. That doing bad to other people is not included. Why is it not included? Because it's nishpah to be over on a mitzvah. So it's very clearly that only things that are okay to do, but are not in violation of a mitzvah. Fine. That's how we learn it from. So it boils down to one word, the word O. But wait a minute. O is not an extra word. If you would have said Lehara ulahetiv, then I would have thought that you're only going to be chayav a korban oil of a yorid if you make a shvua to do good and to do bad. Because it said and. So I have to write or, because otherwise I would only be chayav if I make a shvua in both directions. No? And what's that called? That's called lechalek. To take each of the cases, to separate them out. Either or. So therefore, don't I need O to teach me that it really means either or, and therefore I have no extra pasuk to tell me that you are allowed to make a shvua to do good for somebody else that is not a mitzvah. Some give a guy $100. He doesn't need your $100. Then you want him to be able to go out and have a nice meal today. Treat yourself. Okay. Well, it's not a mitzvah. He's an usher. It's not for that. It's just a chalek. Says the Gemara, no. You don't need lechalik, because when it says either, it says lehara ulahetiv, that means and slash or. So why do I need a pasuk for that? Excuse me. That's a famous machlokas, you know, which we've had many times. Ani chalor Rabbi Yonatan, according to Rabbi Yonatan's famous shita, that to be mekalel aviv ve'imo would mean either or, without any extra pasuk. So then fine, that's true. He holds every time it says vav, it means either or. But that's only Rabbi Yonatan, as we're about to review. But according to Rabbi Yoshia, who says you need a special pasuk to tell me that either father or mother is included in the Isser of being Mekalel, so how are you going to explain that to him? So Michael Amima, according to him, we need O L'chalek, and then we're left with the question. So how do I know we're not talking about a Dvar Mitzvah? Where's that famous machlokas to Tanya? Says in the pasuk, Ish asher yikalel et aviv ve'et imo, a man who curses his father and his mother. Now, I mean, maybe that means only if he curses aviv ve'imo. How do we know that he's chayav misa even on aviv velo imo, or even on imo velo aviv minay? Ah, because look at the whole pasuk, and you will see that it's clearly that way, because first it says Isha Shiri Kalilat Aviv et Imo, and then unnecessarily it says at the end of the pasuk Aviv v'Imo Kilel Mot Yumat. Now, in the first part of the pasuk, it put the word Asher Kalil et Aviv. It put the word Klala next to Aviv, and in the end of the pasuk, it put the word of Klala next to Imo. Aviv v'Imo Kilel. That comes to tell me whether Aviv Kilel or whether Imo Kilel. Each and every one of those is chayiv separately, and therefore, I now know that there's a chayiv misa either on aviv or imo. So says Rabbi Yoshia. Now, Rabbi Yonatan, here's the famous machlokas where Rabbi Yonatan says, wherever the Torah says and, it means and or. So, mashma shnehem ke'echad, u'mashma echad b'fnei atzmo. The very vav can mean o, unless if the pasuk wants to tell you that it means only together, it would have to say yachdav, exactly the way it says ba'kilayim. Shor v'chamor yachdav. Don't plow with them together. It could have just said shor v'chamor, and that would have meant the same thing, right, according to you. And that's the whole point. No. If it would have said shor v'chamor, it would have meant either a shor or a chamor. So therefore, we see that you don't need an extra pasuk. Fine. Okay, now that's a machlokas over there. According to Rabbi Yoshia, the reason that it said yachdav is not to tell me together, but rather it's to tell me even if they're hooked up to the same wagon and they're not connected to each other. Fine, that's a technical machlokas over there. But basically, If you don't owe the Rebbe Yonatan, then you need the O to be Mechalik. And if you need the O to be Mechalik, then you do not have the O to tell me that we're talking about this Kal Vachomer about a Dvar Mitzvah. Well, not necessarily. The Braita could be going on Liba to Rebbe Yoshia, but the reason that the word is over here, even though Rebbe Yoshia holds the word O is not usable, he's still made it that there's another mocker for telling me that a Shvuah L'Kayim is HaMitzvah is not part of Shvuah's. How? Because he could hold like Rebbe Akiva. Remember that Rebbe Akiva darshaned the entire pasuk we saw yesterday with Ribuye and Miute, according to which there was only one Miet. What was that one Miet? Miet Var Mitzvah. That's what we learned it from. And that is the very meaning of Lahara Olaitiv. So now let's take a look at Rabbi Akiva. If we're talking about Lahara Olaitiv in a non-mitzvah thing, then it's coming to be the miut about a Dvar Mitzvah. But if you're going to tell me that Lahara Olaitiv is a reference to something that's objectively good or bad, meaning it's a mitzvah, then there's nothing to be mamayit. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it's a given that if the Torah constructed a ribui miut ribui, and the only thing that we have to be mamayit is a dvar mitzvah, obviously it's not talking about a dvar mitzvah. That explains it according to Rabbi Yoshia. So it doesn't matter. It would work out perfectly well either, according to Rabbi Yonatan, it would work out perfectly well from the O, which tells me you can do a favor to somebody. So then obviously the normal way of understanding it would not be to be over on a mitzvah, which you can't do, but you can do this. And according to Rabbi Yoshia, it could work out simply because there's no other way to understand the ribui miut ribui other than it's referring to a dvar rishus and the miut is of a dvar mitzvah. Okay. So now let's get back to the Mishnah. Okay. So this is a fascinating argument over here, which in the end, it didn't necessarily hold up so beautifully, but just the idea was a fascinating idea of how we would have created out of simple logic and understanding of what precisely do we mean by Lahara Olaitiv, which is such a fascinating thing. Because, I mean, all along, we've been actually very confused by this Lahara Olaitiv, which we've been using in so many different ways. And does it indeed mean something that is just positive and negative in the past? Does it mean it's forward or backwards in time, which was the machlokas that we had between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? Does it mean that it could be a reference to objectively good and bad in terms of kiyum and mitzvah, which would be the case according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Patera, and he doesn't hold that it needs to be necessarily a symmetrical shvuah? Or does it mean that ipso facto, from an analysis of its own set, that it can't possibly be referring to a Dvar Mitzvah, which we were discussing today? It's just incredible to be able to be finding, in those three words, so much rich material to be able to understand the whole nature of Shvuah's Bitvei. So it's incredible. Anyway, so the Mishnah goes ahead and says Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra's argument. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, look, I mean, it's a Kal Vachomer, and the Rabbanan said, yes, it certainly is a Kal Vachomer, but it's not reversible because it says Lahara Olaitiv. So, hey, wait a minute. I mean, that's a very good point. So what does Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra say? Rabbon and Shapir Kamer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, they made a very good point. The Torah says Lahara Olaitiv. So, I mean, how do you get around that? Says Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, excuse me, I remember just hearing from you in that Braita that you can make a Shvuah to give somebody $100 to go have himself a drink, even though he's got plenty of money of his own. How do you know you can do that? I could tell you, is that reversible? You're giving me this argument. It has to be reversible. Or Olaitiv. Okay. So the guy that you're giving $100 to, could you sock him in the nose? Yes or no? No, you can't sock him in the nose. Okay. So how can you buy him a drink? Because it says, oh. Oh, really now? What hypocrisy. So when it comes to something that you like, you want to be able to buy the guy a drink, then it's perfectly okay. And then all of a sudden, there's no need for time reversibility. I mean, reversibility of la raloiti, no positive negative reversibility, right? Why? Because you want to buy the guy a drink. But when I want to let the guy do a mitzvah, now all of a sudden it needs to be reversible. Very nice. Pure hypocrisy, as far as I'm concerned. So, that you just said, you can't have a reversible shrua, and nonetheless, the Torah added, Rabbi Rachmana, it added it specifically by saying the oh. Fine, so that's shrua by the Kima Mitzvah too. Afagav, the letter of Bittul Mitzvah, you're right, it's not reversible, so what? So it says oh, the Torah is marbet, even though it's not reversible. I understand how you know that only it's reversible if you want to give the guy $100, but if it's good old Yehuda ben Beseris drush, then it's not reversible. You know? It's a good point. So the Rabbanan, what's their response to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira? No, they say, it's reversible in a different way. You want to say, I want to give you, and I swear I'm going to give you $100 to buy a drink. Can't you also swear, I swear I'm not going to give you $100? Yes, you can. But when it comes to a mitzvah, it's not even reversible in terms of your intent. What are you going to say? I swear I'm not going to eat I'm not going to eat matzah on Lel Pesach. You can't do that. So therefore, what you're saying does not make sense. And what we're saying does make sense. So hatam ite below 18, you could still say, I won't do this morally neutral thing, but which is nice. You can't say I'm not going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. Excellent. All right, gentlemen. I hope that this was clear. I'm not in my very, very best matzav right now, but I'm doing my best under migraine post-traumas over here. So if I didn't sound too logical, please don't blame me. Okay, we're ready right now for Sir Richard.
I'm also not at the peak of performance as well, but it's a lot lighter on me than you, Rabbi.
All right, Chodesh Tov and
Chodesh Tov, Chodesh Tov. Zuk the Halakha Mishnah.
Excellent. Your grandpa would be proud. Shvua. Shalo ochal kikar zo. Now, we've been talking about a shvua being chal on a mitzvah. How about a shvua being chal on a shvua? So somebody makes a shvua. Shvua shalo ochal kikar zo. And then he repeats himself. I take another shvua, shalo ochalena. I'm not going to eat this thing. And then he takes yet a third shvua. Shvua shalo ochalena. I'm not going to eat this thing. And in the end, he does eat it. How many times is he chayev? Eino chayev ela achat. He can only chayev once, because once he already asserted himself, so now he's mushba va'imed, and he can't add an additional shvua to something that already was asser on him. This, says the Mishnah, ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of our discussion about shvuas bitui, and we now can move on to something else. So what we've been discussing up until now in this perek are all of the dinim of Zoi Shvuat Pitui, Shechayavin Al Zdona Makot, Va'al Shigata Korban Olav Yored, and you remember we read Medayek, what is meant by the Zoi as opposed to not, and does it include both the din of the Korban that it's not, and Makas, or only the din of Makas, or only the din of Korban? This was also a very rich little statement that seems innocent on the surface, but is full of all kinds of challenges. Now, moving on to the next topic. And if you don't mind, says the Mishnah, I want to introduce another Shvua. But we're finished with Shvua's Bitui, and we're moving on to Shvua Shav. And we talked about the Shvua Shav before. Somebody makes a Shvua about something that is either ridiculous or is a waste of time. Meaning it has absolutely, and there's no doubt about it, you're going to swear something is what it is. I swear that this is a piece of wood. Thank you very much. Or I swear that this piece of wood is actually a piece of gold. Okay, thanks. So all of that is just nonsense, and that's called using the Shem Hashem L'shav. Over there, you're chayev makas, but you're not chayev on a korban. Remember, because we learned that out of the Luchot HaBrit, lo yinakeh Hashem. There's nothing you're going to do to get HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive you about this. But the Bezdin Shalmata, they can be menakeh by beating you up. Fine, but that doesn't offer you a korban. Just before we talk about this, I don't understand why we change the language in the middle. You said, Shvuah shelo ochal kikar zu. Now, if you want to tell me that if you make that shvuah three times, you're still only b'chayim one time. So repeat it, for God's sake. Repeat it three times. Shvuah shelo ochal kikar zu. Shvuah shelo ochal kikar zu. Shvuah shelo ochal kikar zu. Instead, you change language in the middle. Shvuah shelo ochal kikar zu. Shvuah shelo ochlena. Shvuah shelo ochlena. Is that the only reason that you're putter? Because this way that you made the second statement was predicated on utilizing the first statement through a pronoun, that before you said kikar zo, and now you say it, and therefore, since it's it, it's the same thing. But if you had actually repeated shvuah shelo ochal kikar zo as if you never saw it before, are you trying to tell me that then you would be chayiv? I mean, what would be logic for that? That what? That's not called mushba v'aymed. Why is the pronoun the point? I don't understand, asks the Gemara. So why did you say it like that? Ah, of course it would be the same if you repeat it three times, Shvuah shelo ochal kikar zo. Yes. But there's a big chiddush over here. Namely, that what if you had said it in the other direction? Because there's a difference between I will not eat this piece of bread and I will not eat it. Okay, so when you say, I will not eat this piece of bread, what that means is I will not do an act of achila on this piece of bread, which means I won't eat a gezayit from this piece of bread. When you say, I will not eat it, what you're saying is it, this entire object, I will not eat. Now, that means that the moment that you would eat a gezayit, you would already be over on eating the iser that you made. And therefore, when you add, I will not eat it, how are you going to be over now a new shvuah for eating the whole thing if you are already over on a shvuah for eating even a gezayit for it? So you're not adding anything by saying, I will not eat it. But how about the other way around? Suppose you say, I won't eat it. I won't eat this. And then you say, I won't eat kikarzo. So then what you first said is, I won't eat this, meaning the item in its entirety. But then when you said, I won't eat this pita, you mean I won't do an act of achila for this pita. Oh, now, wait a minute. Before you said that you won't eat the whole thing. So there you didn't add anything. But if you only said, I won't eat the whole thing first, then when you add, I won't eat it, and you're saying I won't even eat a kezias of it, when you eat that first kezias, you're going to be over on the second shvua, not on the first shvua. You weren't mushba on a kezias of it. So then that shvua would be chal, and that's the point that the Mishnah is actually coming to teach by using the language and changing it to a pronoun. That Hakamashman, the only reason that you would not be chayiv on the second shvua, time of the Yom Shelo Ochal, is because first you said you won't eat this pita, and then you said I won't eat it. So over there, there's only room for one shvua, Yom Chayiv Alachad. But if first you said, I won't eat it, meaning you won't eat the whole thing, and then you said, you won't eat, shelo ochal, v'chayev tartet, then you would be chayev twice. And that is because of what Rava explained. Because Rava explained, Amar Rava, if you say first, shvuah shelo ochal kikar zo, the moment that you would eat a kezayit of it, when you say, I won't eat this pita, what you mean is I won't eat from this pita. And therefore, the minute that you ate a kezayit of it, you're chayev. But if you make a shvuah, I won't eat it, then you would not be chayev until you finished the whole thing. And therefore, the point of the Mishnah is to tell me, not that you're not going to be running into a problem of shvuah chalal shvuah if you would have used the same lashon. Of course you would have. But it's telling me that if you don't use the same lashon, it may actually be the other way around, and there may be a way that it would be chal, namely where you made initially a shvuah on the whole thing, and then you made a new shvuah to aser even a kezayit. Now, you say, shvuah shelo ochlena, shvuah shelo ochlena, v'achla. Why do we need a second shvuah shelo ochlena? You're trying to tell me a halacha. Okay. You taught me the halacha by saying the first two statements. Shua shaloch al kikazo, shua shaloch leno. Period. Period. I don't need the third case. What are you blabbing on for? Those first two cases teach me both of the important rules. A, that en shvua chalal ha-shvua, and B, only if it's in the direction of first saying shaloch al kikazo, and then saying shua shaloch leno. Where the heck did you need to throw in, for no reason, a third shvua? Enough. Atu lamali. That's an amazing chiddush. The third case in the Mishnah of the extra shvua is telling you something astounding. It's telling you, hakam ashmalam, that you're potter. It doesn't say there's no shvua. It says you're only chayev once. Now that comes to tell me, chiyuvahu delekam. But the shvua exists. And no matter how many shvuas you make, those shvuas are shvuas, but they can't be b'chayiv you. What does that mean? It means that imash kachad rivacha, that shvua essentially is there the moment that it finds a place to be chal on. Remember how we understood the idea of enis chal al iser? There's no room for that iser to be chal on this thing, right? That's how we talked about it. So if you made a lot of shvuas, where is the shvua going to be chal on? It doesn't have anything to aser any further than it is aser. But suppose it suddenly finds something to grab. For instance, you go to a chacham because you're hungry and you say, I want to ask and get a heter for my shvua. I'm sorry I ever made it. So the chacham says, yo, okay, fine. We got ourselves a bezdin over here. Muter lecha, muter lecha, muter lecha. And now you're about to eat, and someone comes along and says, wait a minute, didn't you say another shvua that you wouldn't eat it? Well, now that shvua is chal, because you took away the first one. And this would happen, no matter how many times you want to be matered it, there's always another one to be chal if you made a third one. That's the point that it's coming to tell me, that there is a shvua that's extant, and if it finds a place to be chal, Imashkachat Rivacha will be chal. Lama Yochata, referring to what case? Another case of Rava. Yomar Rava, if you went ahead and you were shoyel on the first shvua, then the second shvua will now take the place of the first shvua. And it's as if you didn't do anything. Lema Misayele, we seem to have a beautiful raya for Rava's chiddush, that a shvua remains extant even though it doesn't cause any kind of isurim at the moment. Why? Because take a look at this amazing halacha. A guy makes himself a nazir, okay? And he says two times in a row, hareini nazir, hareini nazir. Now, it's important to recognize that if somebody says hareini nazir twice in a row, the halacha is that he keeps two naziriot. He finishes his first naziras, he brings his korban. Now the second Naziris is chal, and he has to bring the second Naziris. Suppose he counted the first Naziris, and he went ahead, set aside his carbon for the first Naziris. He hasn't brought it yet. Before he brings his carbon, he goes to a bezdin, and he gets a heter, and he says, I'm sorry I ever made that first Naziris. What happens is that now the first Naziris did not exist, because remember, when we are matir shvua, we cancel it retroactively. So there never was an original Naziris. Then that means that the Naziris that he kept was the second Naziris. Because the moment that that Naziris found a place to be chal, it was chal. And now he can bring that carbon for the second Naziris. And he doesn't have to keep another Naziris. So there, if he's nishal arishona, altalo shniya barishona, that is an amazing raya to Rava, because it says that you can replace the spot that was covered by one shvua of Naziris. When you take it away, the second shvua of Naziris simply comes and fills its space. So isn't that exactly what Rava says? Oh, man, where did you guys grow up in Brooklyn? Oh, gosh, what kind of raya is that? Naziris, of course, is not a problem. Because even if you don't hold a Rava, if you make two Nidorim on Naziris, they're both going to be chal. It's just a question whether they are actually able to be chal at the same time? No, they have to be chal one after the other. So they're okay, obviously, if I took away one. So the other one anyway was always waiting to be chal. The only reason we put it off for 30 days was because there was another Naziris that had to be completed. But Rav is telling you that even where the Shvuah has absolutely no practical implication whatsoever, and it's not Machai of you, that it still exists, waiting there in hyperspace for you to take off the first. Where is it waiting, for heaven's sakes? That's now a big Kiddush. That's not similar. Achi Ashta. Very poor thinking. Hatam Nizirut Mia Ita. There is the Nizirut, for sure. Because even if he had never gone to Bishayel, Tichimani L'Rishona, as soon as he finishes his first Naziris, he has to go and count the second Naziris. Butter boy Mahadim Mimna L'Shnia, even if he hadn't been Shoel. Masha'in came over here. There's no such thing. If there's no Shrua, if there's no She'ela on the Shrua, then the Shrua Shnia doesn't have a place to be Chal. So maybe it just doesn't exist in hyperspace. Therefore, you cannot bring me a Raya from there at all. Omar Rava. If you made a shvuah about a particular pita, and you ate, and now there's still a kezias of that pita left, so that kezias is going to be also to eat, you can go ahead, and you can be shayel in Bezdin about the remaining kezias. But if you had already eaten the entire thing, you cannot go to the Bezdin and say, well, if you guys would help me out over here and cancel my netter, then I'm not going to be chaya for being over a netter because I'm canceling it retroactively. No. Once you're over the netter and the item no longer exists, says Rava, you can't now cancel it retroactively because you've already finished being over on the netter at the Shvuah. Omele Ravacha Breda Rava L'Ravashi, well, let me understand what the case is. I mean, if we're talking about, we said before, there's a difference between lo ochel na and lo ochal. So if we're talking about a case where the guy said, I won't eat this pita. All right, you said before, the moment you eat your first kezias, you are already over on your shvuah. That's what you said, right? So then, how is it that if you're already over on the iser, that we allow you to go ahead and to be shayel on it? Didn't you just say, look, man, once you're over on the Isser, don't come to us to save your rear end. It's over. You're already over on it. So, okay, I mean, so if you already ate a kezayin, so it's already over. And if he swore, I'm not going to eat the whole thing, so then you're only going to be over when you eat literally the whole thing. And therefore, why does it need to leave a kezayin at the end? Even if you left a tiny little bit, did you eat the whole thing yet? No. So there's still an Isser? Yes. Okay, so then go ask on the Shua before you're over on the Isser. Well, why would you say a Kezayit? A Filikoshu? Nah, come on. You're missing the point. I mean, there's two very easy ways of understanding what Rava was saying. Could work on either direction. Yibayte Mashalo Ochal. Could be talking about the guy said, I won't eat even a Kezayit of this pita. Or it could be talking about where he said, I won't eat the whole thing. Okay, let me explain to you. Let's take the case. Let's assume Rav is talking about a case where he said, I won't eat this pita, which means the moment he eats a kezayit, he's already over. So what? So he's already over. Is there another kezayit to eat? Yes. So can you go to Bezdin and ask Bezdin, look, I want to be able to eat this remaining kezayit. Could you please be mater my netter? Why can't he do that? And once he does that, of course, it's going to also cancel the whole netter retroactively, and he was never over on the first. Because Migu Dabahani Lesha'ila Kezayit Batra, since he certainly has a right to go to Bezdin and try to cancel a netter that's a shvuah that's now in the way of his eating this last Kezayit, okay, so once he gets that heter, Mahani Lesha'ila Nami Kezayit Kama, then of course that's going to be retroactively remove the entire shvuah, even from the first thing that he ate. So, that's not a kasha. It's not a function of, I was already over and therefore I can't ask. It's that, well, what am I asking about? Or I could say it's talking about this. I won't eat the whole thing. And Why did you say it has to leave a kizayit? Didn't I point out to you that even if there's a little tiny piece left over, you still weren't over your shvuah, and therefore you should be able to be shol on your shvuah? Yes, you're 100%. You would theoretically be able to be shol on your shvuah. But the reason we're not going to allow you to be shol on your shvuah is because we don't convey the din over here to be matir a little tiny piece of bread. It's not chashiv enough to be shol on. In order to have its chashivas for she'ela, it has to have a shear of a kizayit, because otherwise it doesn't have any chashivas. That's the idea. So even though you were over on it before, but in this case, if you were only going to be over on the whole thing, the remaining piece is not going to be enough for you to ask on. Okay, there's a little bit of a contradiction here, as I'm sure you understand. If it's enough to be choshev in terms of being over on the shvua, then why isn't it enough to be shayel on? That's a lot of different shitas about why that's not a question, or whether, in fact, that's what the Gemara means. That if you only left a little bit behind, maybe you already were over. But that will continue tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, from other issues that we talked before, from the issue of the Naziris, and see how this fits. I, unfortunately, will have to excuse myself today from further pain. Anyway, it's almost a refuah shleima. See such wonderful people. So thank you so much. Wishing you a wonderful 45th day of the Omer, and looking forward to continuing. Refuah shleima.